Welcome back to Cy-Hawk Block here on 95.7 KQWC. Sports Director Quinn Douglas with you here for the second half of our show. Talk to Michael Sweeney of Iowa State in the first half. Now we bring on the Hawkeye insider himself from 24/7 Sports, David Eicholt. David, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, Quinn, always good talking with you. Without a doubt, the most highly anticipated Cy-Hawk game ever, and it would not surprise me if there are already Iowa State fans tailgating, getting ready for this one, because it's going to be an absolute madhouse in Ames, Iowa.
I bet there is. I bet if you go down to Fraternity Row in Ames, there's probably a ton of people already partying, getting ready for this game, and with good reason. This is the most anticipated, like you said, the most anticipated Cy-Hawk game ever. I mean, it is the Cy-Hawk game of Cy-Hawk games coming up this weekend. But before we get too far ahead into Saturday's game, let's rewind a little bit, talk about last Saturday for Iowa. Maybe one of the biggest surprises in all college football is how they came out and just ambushed Indiana in week one. Started off, Tyler Goodson, fourth play of the game, a 56-yard touchdown run, and then less than a minute later, Riley Moss gets a tip pass, intercepted, runs it back for a touchdown, 14-0 Iowa just like that. And by the snap of a finger, it felt like Iowa was in total control after that first minute and a half. Would you agree with that assessment, David?
Yeah, I do. You know, my eyebrows are still a little bit raised, though, Quinn, because I was thinking back to last year's game against Northwestern, and Iowa took that quick 17-0 lead in the first half. I mean, the first quarter, and we obviously know how that game ended as well. So I thought it was the perfect start for Iowa, because what have they preached all throughout the Kirk Ferentz era? Starting fast. They started fast, like you said. Tyler Goodson had a 56-yard touchdown run down the right sideline, and Riley Moss had that pick six, which, you know, some people call it a fluke. I call it being at the right place at the right time. And he caught the ball full speed as it was in the air. It was no doubter, I think, for him. So, you know, I do think there were some good things to take away from that. Like you said, I think it surprised a lot of people. But I will say this. It's been very interesting seeing the feedback from that game, from the national perception. And I don't think either side's wrong. Iowa fans and a lot of Iowa people are talking about how they really set the bar high, and Iowa came out proving how good they can be and that they're a worthy top 10 team. But the other side of that is people are calling Indiana a fluke, and I don't think you can go that far yet, Quinn. I think Iowa's defensive line and Iowa's defense in general did a great job of making Michael Penix uncomfortable in the pocket. And remember, that was his first real action after that serious knee injury he suffered a year ago, and I really think that messed with Penix's psyche. Mm-hmm. So I think going forward, I think Indiana is still easily going to be a bowl team. I still think they have an 8-9 win caliber ceiling.
And you want to talk about everybody, a lot of the attention also was on Spencer Petras in his first game after getting, you know, a full spring practice, full summer practice, something he didn't have a year ago, which really contributed to the struggles he had in 2020. 13-27, 145 yards, no touchdowns, but it did run for a touchdown. Nothing really eye-popping with Spencer Petras. Some might look at the completion percentage and think, oh, that's way too low for completion percentage. But the stats aren't really telling the tale of the tape with Spencer Petras. Am I right on that, David?
Yeah, I think so, Quinn. I think that the biggest area of concern I saw from Petras on Saturday was he still missed a couple of open receivers downfield. I think Tyrone Tracy was visibly frustrated a couple of times because he felt he was open. But, Quinn, I mean, how many times have we heard Kelton Copeland, the Iowa wide receiver coach, say, every receiver thinks they're open every single play?
Yeah.
So yeah. I will say that about it. But I will say I think that Petras was much more comfortable and poised in the pocket. I think he delivered some good passes. I think he checked down when he needed to. And there is such thing as good incompletions. He threw the ball away when he was pressured, and I really don't think he put that many passes in harm's way. And I think you do need to take that with a grain of salt. And I do think, though, Quinn, when he escapes the pocket, one of the biggest things that I see that Spencer needs to continue to develop and improve upon, it's resetting his feet after he escapes the pocket to make a throw. Because that sometimes he just sort of tries to rely on solely his arm strength. And I think that's why you saw a couple underthrows when he was going for those deep passes after he escaped the pocket.
Now, kind of moving it forward into this week, I talked about this with Michael Swain. I'll talk about it with you. Tyler Goodson. We all know what happened on Tuesday. Maybe had a comment talking about how this game is supposedly Iowa State's Super Bowl and that they'll have all the intention on them. Didn't sit well with a lot of Iowa State fans, but as I told Michael, you know, considering the history of trash talking, at least with the media on this rivalry, when you compare it to Fred Barr talking about how he repeatedly says, "I hate Iowa State," 2002, Julian Vandevelde in 2007 talking about how he hates the entity of Iowa State. Both those years really didn't end up going very well for the Hawkeyes. But it felt like to me, David, and I feel like, and correct me if I feel like I'm taking this too lightly, but I felt like what Tyler Goodson said was very, very tame compared to what we've seen in the past from Cy-Hawk trash talking.
Yeah, you know, I think so, Quinn. And I'll say this. I really don't think Tyler meant it as a shot to Iowa State.
No, not so ever.
You know, and I think what he meant by that is Iowa's had their number across basically all sports for the past 2 years. That he's saying they're going to take this game extra, extra seriously because they want to be able to break that streak. I mean, Matt Campbell, probably the only criticism that people have of him is he has not beaten Iowa. So I think Goodson respects Iowa State. I mean, he talked about them fondly when he talked about getting an offer from them. I don't think there was any real shade from him, but obviously if you're going to read the quote like that, I think if the shoe were on the other foot, Iowa fans would take that pretty harsh too. But yeah, you know, again, I don't think there was really much trash talk there. I think Spencer Petras this week, too, really chose his words carefully. I think a lot of the Iowa players chose their words carefully. And the reality is, Quinn, and, you know, I did get some pushback from former Iowa long snapper Tyler Kluver on this. I think it's both teams' Super Bowl this year. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think that in different standpoints, I think if either team wins or loses, it doesn't affect what they want to do for their season goals as far as conference and, you know, potentially making a push for the college football playoff, a New Year's Six Bowl, et cetera. But whoever wins this game, Quinn, is going to become a national talking point for the next few weeks. Because if Iowa wins, Quinn, they're very likely to be 5-0 going into Penn State on October 9th. I don't see them losing to Colorado State, Kent State, or Maryland. So this really sets up for one of those potentially special Iowa seasons. And traditionally, if Iowa beats Iowa State, Quinn, you know this as well as I do, they typically are much better off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one lone exception, that was 2002, an Iowa team that went 11-1, but that's another topic for another day. But we'll fast forward to Saturday, 3:30 kick on ABC. You can listen to it right here on 95.7 KQWC, 92.9 FM KZWC. And David, I know you're going to give your predictions later on today online, but I'll just ask, what are your keys to the game for Iowa, for them to get the win against Iowa State and perhaps vault themselves into the college football playoff discussion?
You know, I think step one, Quinn, is stop Breece Hall. I think Breece Hall needs to be top of the scouting report, and that's no shade at Brock Purdy and what he's done. But if Iowa State loses, you know, is slowed down with Breece Hall, I think that if you're going to force them to throw against this experienced Iowa secondary, I think that's going to bode very, very well. The second thing, contain Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy, you remember 2 years ago, Quinn, he was heavily criticized after the game because he refused to run the football. And I think him running the football last week was a big reason why they avoided the scare against Northern Iowa. So I think he's going to look to escape the pocket, create some plays with his feet. So Iowa needs to be able to contain that. And I'll say this again. I think 24/7 Sports' Josh Pate hit this right on the head. Feed Tyler Goodson. Tyler Goodson is the most important player on the field on Saturday. If Iowa wins, it's going to be because of Tyler Goodson. And I think Goodson's going to go out there with a fire because he's tired of everybody talking about Breece Hall instead of him. Like, he's chopped liver. There's two great running backs in the state of Iowa, and I think that Tyler Goodson wants that crown as being the number one guy. He wants to yank that spotlight. So I think feed Tyler Goodson, stop the run, and contain Brock Purdy. And the final one, Quinn, field position, field position, field position. Mm-hmm. If that happens, I like Iowa's chances.
Yep, nobody is better at playing field position than a Kirk Ferentz football team. I've learned that through many years of watching not only Iowa football but college football in general. David, thank you very much for talking to us. Before you leave, congratulations on the new extension with 24/7 Sports. We're definitely glad to have you around the state of Iowa a little bit longer.
I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
That was David Eicholt of 24/7 Sports covering the Iowa Hawkeyes, a site publisher for Hawkeye Insider. And we will be right back after this. We'll take you back to regular programming here on 95.7 KQWC.